It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal, a time where we get together with Janet and John. We take a look at the stories that they're following in the Lakeville Journal and the Millerton News. You can do that in the papers or at tricornernews.com. And we say good morning, Janet. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Good morning.
John, how does it feel to be sitting in the comfort where you're sitting?
Sitting in the comfort of my home.
What you know, as human beings, you often wonder, what takes us so long to think of the good things?
I just need to walk in the other room. I grab my coffee, I walk in the other room. Yeah, I know.
Well, especially sweet because I'm sitting in the library of my mother-in-law, my late mother-in-law, Hatsy Taylor, who wrote the Hilltop Harvest column for the Lakeville Journal for 20 years.
That's wild. It's wild how time, what time brings about and different changes and how small of a world we have.
Or how wonderfully circular. You just, you know, it completes the cycle. It's great.
All right. Well, let's move on to the front page of the paper, which has a lot of red and green in it, of course. You've got a great story, and it's a story that not many people have covered. And I'm not talking about only locally. I'm talking about statewide and national. The funding and the child care centers that they are facing now, everybody's always talking about the funding shortages. Well, there's the staffing shortages because there's no place for people to live that want to start at these jobs. This is a terrific story, as I said, that I don't think enough newspapers or media has been covering.
Well, I agree, and we, Janet and I both, wanted this story, and we've been trying to get it for some time, but we finally pulled it off, and it's a good look, a long look, at this child care centers in both Northwest Connecticut and in Eastern Dutchess County, looking at really the staffing shortage that they have and the funding shortage. The reality that, you know, is that they are not just child care centers, they're really babysitters. They're not just babysitters, rather. They're sort of like getting children ready to go to school. They're really preschool. And Fran Chappell in Canaan and Tanya Roussis at Housatonic Child Care Center in Salisbury both were interviewed in this story. We go through a lot of the background and how they are struggling post-pandemic to keep their funds up. They got ARPA money. The centers did, and they still have difficulty finding staff, and in fact, they now are under capacity. There's more demand than they can fulfill. One of the things that they've done is sort of form their own collaborative, which is sort of a self-starting thing, where they bring together child care centers around the region to sort of talk about how they're going to solve their problems. It did get ARPA money, but that's gone.
So. Yeah, it's because it's a continuing problem. It's only going to get worse because people can't move into the area. People can't afford to live in the area that could work at these centers, and the centers themselves need to function with a budget because now it's not like it used to be 20 years ago where you could be a child care center. Now there's so many different strict codes that you must meet. It's not an easy thing to do on top of everything.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, 20 years ago it wasn't easy either. It's never been an easy business, and it's ironic because who's more precious to us than our children?
Yeah. And who's the future?
I mean, that's right. But our society doesn't necessarily have its priorities straight. We're grateful that Elias Sorich really dug deep on this story. There's a lot in here. It really gives good background and a good look into what the future holds for these centers.
I just thought it was a great story to be on the front page because nobody has done a story like this that I can see that in any paper or any news media on TV or whatever. Nobody.
Yeah, thanks for noticing that. We feel profoundly that it's a very important story.
All right, we'll go to the other side of the page, and from the Connecticut Mirror, you've got the story about pot stores coming soon, not necessarily to our northwest corner towns, but Winsted, of course, is going to have one because they had a facility there that was MediCleaners, but it's coming to Connecticut like it came to Massachusetts.
Yeah, this is a story looking at how the state is administering the change that allows for recreational pot passed about a year ago, and it just takes a look at where they might be coming. There is one that's certainly slated in Torrington. As you may remember, North Canaan has been considering it. They have a moratorium on it right now, and we'll have more of a public commentary period. But that's a possibility. But right now, there are the Department of Consumer Protection has issued provisional licenses to more than 40 growers and retailers in the state. So it's coming.
And of course, there's the lure of big money that is that's hard for people and for towns that might get big money from it to stay away from. Just a great picture and a terrific story. The picture of course, a wildlife rehab specialist trying to get a hold of a Canadian goose, and then the story that goes with it.
It's a sweet story about a Canada goose who had a babies, had some goslings, and had a mate, but then somehow or other became injured, and when the whole family flew south, this goose was not able to join. So she's been living in a pond over in Salisbury, but now the pond's been freezing over, and there's been a coyote circling around. So the Sharon Audubon Center's Sonny Kellner, who's been watching this, came in and with some help rescued the goose, and the goose will go on to a rehab center somewhere, and will be with other resident geese that cannot really fly.
All right, just you know, what's one of those holiday stories that makes you feel good going into the holiday season? It really is. You've got another story about the Housatonic Youth Service Bureau and what it does to help our community. And I think it's a hidden resource that a lot of people hear about but don't really understand.
Yes, this story really fulfills a strong desire that the Lakeville Journal has now to cover the nonprofits. And this one is one that helps communities' youth. And it sort of got triggered a little bit with a 5K run that happened in October up at Green Mountain School where they raised money, but we decided to take a little sort of deeper look at what's going on, and I think more than 100 youth each week are served by the Housatonic Youth Service Bureau. It's free, and they're very much focused on preschool all the way through high school, and it's been going since 1991. It's not without, you know, its serious challenges, including money, of course. They've asked for each town in Region 1 to kick in. So far, it's been slow coming, but Salisbury and Cornwall and Sharon have all contributed ARPA money. So it's a good story to look at how our youth are being served by an agency in Falls Village that is really making a difference.
And how do you prepare for the future? By taking the youth and making sure that they're not affected adversely by all the things that are going on around them, and give them as normal life as possible to turn out to be better people in the future. Big part of Housatonic Valley about their youth drive and what they do to help youth become better people when they grow up 10, 15 years from now.
Exactly.
Right now, and it goes through the 16th. Of course, we've got the Sunday in the Country Food Drive. They've already done Thanksgiving. They're going to do Christmas like they do every year for the food banks. And Salisbury Bank has their food drive that is on now, and that is running through the 16th as well.
Right, and it's at all 14 branches of the bank, in both in Berkshire County, Litchfield County, Dutchess County, and Orange County, and Ulster County. So it's all over the place. They need, monetary contributions as well as food supplies, and they take a variety of donations, paper towels included, diapers, shampoo, and food. So it's going on.
Nice color picture, because, and it's nice, there's so many events that are back now in full. You've got a picture of the Festival of Lights in Millerton.
Yes, this is a picture of a Grinch. This was a day-long celebration of events in Millerton. Spent the day over there myself, and we actually have a story in Tri-Corner News about it. But it was all kinds of things, from ice carving to the Salisbury Band playing their Christmas repertoire, a parade, cookie decorating, everything. It's part of what you'll see in the coming issues of the paper, more and more, as you said, activities where people are coming out and celebrating the holidays.
I just know that today, I normally go to Brian Ross at 7:20, but my news ran about 50 minutes long because of all the events that are back in full in our area, and people are going to. And speaking about events, the FFA store at Housatonic Valley Regional High School, last year they sold out, and this year the students who do that from beginning to end are also having another banner year.
Yes, they definitely have sold not only you know, Christmas trees, but poinsettias and all kinds of other things. It is at the Housatonic Valley Regional High School, and it continues on. I'm not sure exactly when. I think it continues on
to the 21st.
But to the 21st, yeah, through the 22nd, maybe. But we have a cool photo here of the head of the Ag Ed department. He serves as the FAA treasurer, but he took an aerial shot of the of all the trees before they were gone. There is a concern that there aren't enough trees this year because of drought and also some disease, but we'll see.
All right, and I love this next story because I love the person it's about. I interviewed Peter Steiner a couple of weeks ago, and he is going to read from his World War II novel.
Yes, Peter, this is a story that Janet wrote about. Maybe Janet should talk about this.
Okay, but anybody can talk about it, because we all know how Peter writes about, you know, Germany in pre-World War II and World War II times. Fascinating read, really interesting the way he built his characters, and it'll be great to hear him read from it and ask him questions about it, because he knows so much about it. He's done so much research, and everything comes across as very real, even though they're historical novels that he has written about Willy Geismayer, and this is his third.
Well, you know, what's great about him is that he's a true Renaissance man. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's for sure. And we're so happy to have his cartoons every week, by the way. And, you know, yeah, he does so many things. And, yeah, just give him a Google and get an idea of how much he's done. So we're so fortunate to have him in our area.
Well, the book reading will be at the Hotchkiss Library, Sharon. That comes up December 4th from 4 to 5, Hotchkiss Library of Sharon.org for more information on that.
Yeah, that's this Sunday, and he's reading The Inconvenient German, his most recent novel.
All right, move to Cornwall, where people seem to forget these meetings, but they happen, and all the different agencies that the different towns operate, you have to have people apply for positions to fill those, and Cornwall selectmen have filled 7 of those town vacancies.
Yes, it's definitely, as you say, something that's sort of under the radar, but it's very important. In Cornwall, they've appointed a new animal control officer, and the husband of somebody who is going to be also training for additional rescue-type activities. And then they put people on the Economic Development Commission, the Parks and Rec. It's a full complement of people who volunteer their time and help the town.
All right, nice story on the North Canaan Elementary School. They're honoring the veterans.
This was very sweet. The students at North Canaan Elementary, the second grade class that hosted the event for their own Veterans Day celebration, and there were patriotic songs that they sang. They wrote letters to the veterans. There were about 15 who showed up and presented them with certificates. Totally grasping the idea of, you know, not only working hard on an event, but also really saluting the veterans who served the country. And it was very sweet. We have a photo and a story about this.
You know, you've got a picture of the start of the Cornwall Turkey Trot, and online looking at the picture, it looks like an old picture. I mean, that's one of the great things about black and white in newspapers. But you've got the picture of the people lined up. The turkey trot in Cornwall took place.
Well, that's true, and I personally thought that they should have the turkey trot after Thanksgiving meal, but they did it before. Usually you march around the house after eating big turkey. But this is a great shot, and you're right. It does look vintage.
Yeah, there's just something about black and white photography when it's done correctly that makes it truly outstanding. Want to move on here because I want to go to the program that the SVNA has opened up, and this is a terrific program, and that is hospice pet care they're going to start offering.
Yes, they call it pet peace of mind, but it really is allowing patients who are, you know, at what they describe as the end of life journey in hospice to be allowed to not have to worry about their pet. So whether their pet current or future needs. So this is a new initiative by the Visiting Nurse and Hospice of Litchfield County, and it will really bring all kinds of services, including assistance with pet food, financial assistance with routine veterinary care, even transporting pets to appointments. So it's a big deal, and I really think that we should salute them for doing this.
All right, and we've got the Festival of Trees back this year, and you've got a story on that, and they've got their big party coming up on a Saturday, as a matter of fact.
That's right. It's from 5 to 7:30. This is a really a Festival of Trees is a major fundraiser for the auxiliary at Noble, and they will be some of the projects they've recently concluded or finished include, you know, a new Wi-Fi system at the Noble that replaced the old one that was overwhelmed by too much traffic, and a vehicle to take residents, you know, to appointments and to run errands. But it was it's a big deal. A lot of work goes into this to make this festival, and they had a sort of pause during the pandemic, but they're back.
All right, I want to move on to the editorial pages now. The editorial gratitude and giving.
And giving, you know, of course, this is the time of year when we're thinking about, well, we thought about it last week at Thanksgiving, what we are grateful for in our lives, and as we look forward to the gift-giving season, we can keep that gratitude in our hearts and think about who we can support among all the nonprofits in this region. They're so important to the fabric of life in our communities. Mm-hmm. Our volunteers and organizations give so many resources that otherwise would not be available close by, and we're even starting to see some of the effects of having to drive a little farther for such resources. So by all means, we should think about what has affected our lives in the past year and for in a positive way, or the people we know, and support them when it comes to end-of-year giving. Talk about it at length here.
Your letters, a definite slant towards the Sharon Hospital situation. I think there's four or five letters in the letters to the editor about that.
Yeah, and boy, we really appreciate people weighing in and taking the time to share their knowledge about this with our readers. So give them all a read. This week, Sharon Hospital and Invasives are the stars, and so we're glad to have all those comments.
All right, and once again, along with that, I want to move, there's Peter Steiner's cartoon on Viewpoints as well, but I want to move on for a second because, once again, you're doing something that is so terrific. I found out about 3 or 4 weeks ago how well the football squad is doing. That is Gilbert and Housatonic and Northwestern. And this football co-op gives a chance for students in each school to play football. Their second year together, you've got the story about them in the Turkey Bowl, but their second year, and this Sunday, they're playing in the semifinals, where if they win this game, they're going to go to the state championship game for Class SS, and all they did last week was beat the number one team in the state in Class SS. These student athletes and these people that are running this program deserve a lot of credit.
They certainly do, and they won on their game on Thanksgiving, 56-6, in Winsted at Gilbert. And they, as you said, they go on to the semifinals in Willimantic. The other nice thing here is we've really found Savage Freeze takes wonderful photos, and he's a very good sports photographer. We have a couple of really great shots of the team, you know, running or catching. It's great stuff.
Yeah, and like I said, they've got their game on Sunday, and then they could possibly go to the state championship game after already beating the number one team in the state. So it's great to see that. And, you know, we missed not having football at Housatonic, and I know the folks missed not having a full-fledged team at Gilbert. And now former bitter rivalries teamed together with Northwestern, who's also a rivalry with Gilbert, to form something that gives students the chance to play football and to excel. It's a great story. It's a great story.
And not only that, it's well done by Riley Klein, our videographer, who does also reporting, but he gives a terrific play-by-play through here, through this story.
Yeah. All right, let's go in the final couple minutes to Compass, and what's in Compass this week? And the
Compass has got a truly eclectic field this time. We have opera, we have Instagram, we have podcasts, books, music. Starts off with a big look at the Met Opera wading into a Virginia Woolf story. It's the world premiere adaptation of a novel by, you know, Pulitzer Prize-winning American composer Kevin Putz, and directed by Thelma McDermott. This is going to be broadcast as part of the Met Opera Live in both the Haywee Performing Arts Center in Great Barrington and at the Movie House. We also take a look at Hilton Owls, who is a long-standing staff writer at The New Yorker, also a Pulitzer Prize winner, who's really does turn the world upside down with Instagram. He does a great job, and it's looking at his pieces that end up will be, you know, part of the Clark Museum's exhibit coming up December 8th. We also have at the Mahawi, there's going to be a piano concerto. It's going to be Beethoven, a podcast done, you know, by the Met Museum on Georgia O'Keeffe, and it makes a sort of reference to our own Roxana Robinson, her biography. So it's just a full of good stuff here by Alexander Wilburn.
And also, you've got enough ads in there, which also pass along things that are going on that people might not know about. The Crescendo concerts, you've got that. You've got the vendor fair, which is taking place on Sunday and Salisbury, and more. So, hey, this is what local journalism is all about.
Exactly.
All right, you can find these stories and more in the Lakeville Journal and also the Millerton News and online at tricornernews.com. Guys, we'll speak to you next week.
All right, thank you.
Have a good week.
That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal. Once again, tricornernews.com is where you'll find them on the web.